For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, saying those same words that you're so familiar with again and again. And so many of you have written to thank me for repeating those words, because we all need to remember that, don't we? No matter what's happening or where we are, we need to remember that we are loved with an everlasting love. And that if we trust Him, we can count on those everlasting arms. I was reading a quotation yesterday from Bishop Handley Moule, M-O-U-L-E, talking about the will of God. That's our subject. We've been talking about the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father, and our emphasis right now is that phrase, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And Bishop Moule said that our slightest pain finds response in Christ's sympathy. There lies open to us the blessed secret of a life which shall move amidst even the most unwelcome surroundings. And I think of you who are in prison, for example. As a life free and at leisure and at peace, full of love and rest, blessed and blessing. That sounds preposterous, doesn't it? That there could be that kind of a life in the midst of your particular set of circumstances. A life hid with Christ in God. That's what makes it a life full of love and rest. It's not the people who surround you. It's not the ordinary human comforts. Many of us have all of that, plus the life hid with Christ in God, but some of you don't. Some of you are so far from being in the kind of place that I can imagine that I can only lift you up to Him who wants to hide you in His life, a life in which everything, from your rising up to your lying down, the smallest cross and the largest, is seen in the light of the holy, the beloved will of God, and so is met not with a sigh or a murmur, but from the soul. Now, of course, God didn't want you to be in prison, if that's where you are. God didn't want you to do whatever it was that put you there. God does not approve of the situations in which a good many of you are living. Don't get me wrong. You've got to understand me here, because I realize how much room there is for distortion and dreadful misunderstanding. It's not that God wills this in the sense that He wants evil to happen to us. But if this is a situation in which we now are, and from which we cannot extricate ourselves or ought not to extricate ourselves, for example, if you're in what looks to you like a very bad marriage, I do not think you ought to try to extricate yourself from that. But it's not one in which you would choose to live. But if this is your situation, you can pray that prayer, "Thy will be done on earth here, Lord, in this prison cell, in this humble home, in this workplace. Thy will be done in me as it is in heaven." Now, that is a practical prayer. I am to do the things that I don't love doing. The drudgery. Is there anybody who doesn't know what drudgery is? Drudgery is not necessarily work that you hate, but it's work that's difficult, monotonous, tiring, or just plain hard. And I don't know of any kind of work that doesn't have a certain amount of drudgery in it. I happened to be watching an actress interviewed this morning on the news show, and of course, she's got a wonderful life compared to many others. materially speaking. She's got fame, she's got fortune, she's probably got many luxuries in her life. But she was talking about the hard work. And some of you would snort at the idea of acting being hard work. I'm not going to argue one way or the other whether it's hard work, because I'm not an actress and I've never had to do it myself. But I have a pretty good idea what it's like to rehearse things and go over and over and over and have to redo things. And I don't know of any kind of work that I've ever done that doesn't include something that's at least difficult or monotonous or tiring or hard, and maybe all of the above. So when I pray, "Thy will be done," I'm asking that the Lord will help me to do the work that He's given me to do, and to do it willingly and thankfully, to do it with love because it's His will and not mine. Substituting the discipline of an office for the freelancing of the gifted amateur. Do you envy the fact that I am a freelance writer? While you have to be disciplined to sit at an office desk and write what somebody else tells you to write, or take dictation, or work on a computer, that's what "Thy will be done" means. Taking on a job that needs doing, even if it's not in accord with our particular gifts. That happens quite often, you know. We are assigned a job that we really don't think suits our particular gifts, and we know it doesn't suit our particular tastes. God's will may involve taking on that kind of a job. God's will involves accepting quietly the situation when a job we were doing rather well is taken away and given to somebody else. Am I touching any sore points out there? Has a job that you were doing well been taken away and given to somebody else? "Thy will be done" means being ready for God's sudden no. God does that, doesn't He? Sometimes He suddenly startles us with a no, with something that is a total interruption of our plans. A door slammed in our face, an iron gate that won't yield. "Thy will be done." And if this is what has happened, then I have to assume that this is the answer to my prayer. Now, it's very important that we learn to pray that prayer not merely with resignation. Our human spirit rebels against whatever cuts across our own comfort, our own preferences, our tastes. And the best that some of us can do is just to resign ourselves. But I don't really think that's what this prayer means. In matters great and small, we often accept God's will only because we must, and not with any gladness of heart. So strong and tenacious is our self-will. So blind are we to God's best, and so persistent in our quest for our own goals, that it is the last element of the personality to yield wholly to God. The last element of the personality, my will. I will give Him my money, I will give Him my time, I will give Him this and that and the other thing, I may give Him my work, but my will I am going to hold for myself. If that's the case, we can't pray that prayer then, can we? My grandfather was on shipboard when he was writing the little book called Living Through These Days, from which I quoted yesterday, I think. And this is what he says in one of his essays. "After all, we are creatures of small horizon when left to our own seeing. Whither to go and what to do are matters that need more foresight than our unaided faculties can supply. These words are being written on a ship that has been in the fog for many hours." "Do you slow down much nowadays in a fog?" a passenger asked the Scotch chief engineer. "Oh, yes, dead slow when the fog is thick," But in a fog like this one we've been in, the man on the bridge can see right out over it, and they can see any lights beyond. My grandfather goes on to comment whether the fog be a light mist or a heavy dark blanket, shutting the ship within its streaming folds. No landsman in his right mind would suppose that he could see better or navigate more wisely than the commander of the bridge. Yet what presumptuous, foolish landsmen we are when we think we would find satisfaction in our amateur navigation instead of trusting to the commander. God is doing the best he can for us. Can anything be better than that? I love that illustration. The man on the bridge can see over the fog. We're in the fog. We only see through a glass darkly, as Paul said. We can't see the lights on the horizon. The man on the bridge is God. He can see the end from the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Stop and think back on some of your sillier prayers. Thank God that because he could see what you could not see when you asked that thing, his answer was no. Thy will be done. I think of some of my silly prayers, and I can only thank God that among his greatest mercies are his refusals.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.